relationships, sex, passion with Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality. This is the show we explore different ways people explore or express their passion for sex. It's a regular feature here with my regular guests. We have Pierre over here and Catherine, join me regularly. They run a website called BDSMCircle.com with chock full of information, whatever you want. They even brought props today. And the reason they did that is because you can't see it, but if you do log on to my Facebook page, my public page, at Dr. Lori Petito, you will see a live feed of the show. So while we're doing this show right here, right now, you can watch the show as well as listen to the show. So once again, go to Facebook and look for my public page, Dr. Lori Petito. Does that make you nervous, guys?
No, but we even dressed up to be
here. You dressed up a little bit, eh? You left your pajamas at home and...
Well, usually we have a little more,
Put a bit of leather on.
But yeah, put a bit of leather on.
A little bit of leather.
Now, is leather often a part of the things you do?
Absolutely.
Leather is the fetish by itself. The smell, the feel of it. For many people, leathers bring them into that zone, if I can call it like this.
But a lot of
people... And I like sci-fi, and sci-fi is too.
Oh, that's true too. The Matrix. The Matrix.
Matrix is great for a fetish.
But okay, I'm thinking now, leather. A lot of people...
Yep.
Like leather as a fashion thing, right?
Yep.
Sure.
I love leather. Leather jackets are always stylish.
You bet.
Leather pants, not so much on guys. I don't see too often in your everyday, although you're wearing them. I know. I see that. I have to see that. And, it's true. There's a certain smell to leather that's really nice. Yep. When you want to buy a leather bag, you sniff it to make sure it's real leather. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing. The jump over to... leather being sexually exciting to me is a whole other situation.
Well, not really, because you get the little black mini skirts, or you get there's a lot of like sexy leather outfits, or people look pretty like
sexy's leather. Leather is is sexy,
like even a little black leather dress, which could be very classy, and you go out to dinner in a nice restaurant, can be stinking hot later on, right? Or at a nightclub, you take off your shirt, right? I mean. It's just like...
How about leather corset or leather bra?
That's when it goes one step. It's a different fashion.
But you got to remember, everybody starts off, even the most extreme person starts off with like a little tiny bit of interest. And then it just goes
full
more
on leather.
More. No, like nobody starts off with a dungeon. Right, you get a dungeon over time. Nobody starts off with a bunch of toys. You get your first couple of toys, right? That's how it works. And it's like tattoos. You start off with one. How many people stop with one?
Yeah, right. Well, then you explore. There's so many things to explore. In fact, I was in New York. Just got back last night, but I went to the Museum of Sex in New York.
Cool.
We have to go there.
It's really, really cool. And they have the whole history. They have an entire section with pictures from like old as can be pictures. And there was a lot of BDSM play way back when, 1600s, 1700s.
Well, always.
Yeah, it seems to be always. But they also have a boutique in the front, and they sold all, they had a whole section of
We have to go there.
Very, very interesting indeed. But it just went to show, I think, the whole history behind it, because a lot of people don't, they just assume this is something new. Like,
it's the part of sexuality, 50 Shades, that it's still okay to be prejudiced against. Everybody realizes that not everybody, but there's a lot of media interest and media coverage about the, LGBT. And that's great. That's great. But we're like 30 years behind them. Nobody recognizes that it's okay to be kinky. You're just a freak. Nobody realizes that it can be safe, sane, consenting adults.
You're just a freak,
which is
right?
What,
everybody just
ended. The vast majority of people who do BDSM do it behind closed doors, within a loving couple, and nobody knows about it.
Nobody.
But
we're out, okay? Because we're out, we don't hide things. And I can tell you that we know why people keep this secret, because we have problem. We had, you know, stalker. We had that threat at some point. And so, people keep this secret behind closed door. They do well. It's not that we want it like this, but it's the way it is. And like she said, 30 years.
To a certain extent. I mean, I think we're about 30 years behind.
Yep.
Now it's still, you know, a lot of people understand about safe words. They understand that it's done between consenting adults and stuff, but it's still taboo. And it's more like, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, still. It's still all the little jokes
about it. A little
less, though,
because of 50 Shades of Grey.
Well,
maybe a little bit. Any more exposure. The fact that, you know, The Simpsons make jokes about safe word. Castle makes jokes about safe words.
Right.
You know, things like that. It's actually good exposure that it does bring it out into the open a little bit more.
And Dan was talking about a show called Billions, where the opening was about, you know, high-powered
men. You mentioned 50 Shades of Grey. The problem with 50 Shades of Grey, we get emails from people that they don't understand something that happened on 50 Shades of Grey. And we have problem with this. You know, you send 50 Shades of Grey, the relationship going on and off with, you know, Anna, if I remember her name, and Grey.
Mm-hmm.
And people think, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, you have a relationship, it break off, you come back, it break off. It's like, no.
That's a movie.
That's a, right. I'm going to be polite here.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is a good relationship and BDSM, or simply a good relationship in life, people talk, people negotiate all the time. It's not like things happen, you get in a fight, and then you slam the door. No, you sit down and fix the problem. And in BDSM, it's quite important, you know, to do this.
Well, it's the... From everything you've taught me in terms of this show, in terms of what you've teaching, is that you can't do this unless you have amazing communication.
Yet, a lot of people do it. It's like, you're the sub, shut up and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And things happen, and there's accident, there's people being hurt physically, mentally, and we meet these people, and sometimes, to be honest with you, there's some guys I would just want to break their face.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of the reasons why, by the way, I like having you on, is that if we can avoid things like that, if we can...
We must avoid things like that.
And if we can teach what it actually is, demystify it, if you will. Like, I think my show just demystifies more than anything.
Yes, yes.
But also so that if people want... A, for people not to feel alone, who feel like this is something they need. That's important. B, to get information that's, the right information, not the... information like from 50 Shades, for example.
Yeah.
And also safety. To me, safety is very important. That people do things safely. They do things consensually. This is
most important to me, too. I couldn't agree more. You know, I really believe that some people are just wired this way. You know, I think there's some people that are wired gay, some people wired straight. It's just the way you're wired. And it can be a very alone feeling where you think, you know, there's something really wrong with me. How could I want something rough? It just doesn't make sense, you know. And there's a lot of people out there that do this.
Mm.
And they're functioning people in society. They're, you know, we have lots of professionals and lots of blue-collar workers and white-collar workers and people do all sorts of ranges of it.
Mm-hmm. But it can be confusing. I think for someone, as you say, who feels that they're wired this way, it can be a confusing thought to say, wow, how come I like to be hurt? Or how come I enjoy this kind of stuff? We are with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle, Alternative Sexuality tonight. You can call us at
514-790-0800
if you have questions. You can text at 514-800, or you can also watch us and comment live on Facebook as we stream live by going to the Facebook page at Dr. Lori Battito. You're listening to Alternative Sex here on Passion and CJD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
It's all about the kink tonight. Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. are in studio for Alternative Sexuality. The first Wednesday of every month, they join us in studio. You can join us too. So you can actually go to Facebook, go to my public page, which is Dr. Lori Betito, L-A-U-R-I-E-B-E-T-I-T-O. And you can watch us live stream the show as we speak now. But you also get to see the in-betweens. So when we go to commercial break, we can continue the show, basically.
We have fun in the breaks. Right.
Well, the breaks, you know, Pierre and Catherine did bring some...
Toys.
Right. I said props, wrong word, sorry.
Thank you.
Toys, and they're doing little demos and telling us what it's about. And you can ask your questions as well. So you can, if you log on to Facebook, you can ask, you can make comments, you can ask questions. Of course, you can make comments right here at 514-800, or you can call in at 514-790-0800. So we were talking off air about not cleanliness, but
how to clean, how to maintain.
Maintenance, cleanliness. I was laughing off air. I was touching one of the things. I said, wait a minute, how many butts has that been on? But, in terms of, I don't want to say sterilizing,
something. Body fluids and stuff for sure. I mean, there's products you can buy. Okay, there's special products and sprays and soaps and stuff we use.
Disinfecting.
For different things, like with most of our, what we would call insertable toys, mostly we have glass now.
To use glass, so they go in the micro. I mean, they go in the dishwasher.
They can go in the dishwasher.
But I can only imagine your dishwasher at your house.
Well, we use condoms, though. We still use a lot of condoms.
Condoms on your toys.
Yep.
Yes.
It's safe. It's just for safety.
Yeah.
And this is another thing. Some people would use anything for insertable, and you have to be careful what you use because tissue inside a vagina is quite
delicate.
Delicate. You can't.
It's more delicate inside a rectum, by the way.
Well yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Just saying. No, but you're the expert. I mean, there's nothing else to say. Mm-hmm. But some people don't realize that they shove anything anywhere without thinking, and this is wrong.
No,
this is not safe.
Not safe.
This is dangerous.
Right.
You know, you think, you look at your stuff, you get the right equipment.
I have a texter here who says, I know couples who are living BDSM style unconsciously. Does that make sense? How do their friends respond to that, knowing that it's you conscious on their part? It's quite uncomfortable. I'm not quite sure what that means, but...
Knowing it's unconscious on their part.
Remember the old... I'm sorry, my love.
Sorry, there's always going to be... an agreement of power, and there's always going to be one person in a couple who is going to be more dominant than another. So
that's what you mean. But that's what they mean. You think?
I think so, and
lifestyle?
I think the you conscious was unconscious. They don't realize that they're living what's basically a BDSM style relationship where you've got one person more dominant than the other.
Right.
And it's okay if they don't call it that. There's lots of people.
It's not okay if it's abuse, though. It's not okay.
No.
Exactly.
No, it's not okay if it's abuse. But that's why I say it's consenting. Right? Where you know, they consent on the person of the consents to give them the power. It's like, you know what? There are a lot of women will be, you know, it's my kitchen. You know, you stand in my kitchen. I want to, or a man may stand in my kitchen. That's my area, or things like this. There's certain things of the partnership that one person will take care of, and then the other does.
If I may, there's a big difference between a dynamic in a relationship where you have where I think what this person is referring to. Sometimes you really do have a very dominant person with a passive person, but they get together unconsciously. This is not a consent. Hey, I'm going to be your submissive and you're going to be my dominant.
But if it's both are happy.
Yeah, but the problem with those relationships is they are often unhealthy because you have one person who does not express their desires or wishes because they don't want to upset the other person. There are a lot of...
You're the professional here.
I agree, but being dominant doesn't necessarily mean that you're forcing the other person. I understand what you're saying, and it can get in the case, especially with vanillas, that where you get one person that becomes domineering instead of just like a leader.
Right.
Kind of, right?
Right.
And, it always has to be in any healthy relationship. There is going to be lots of talking and negotiation and that. But hopefully the person that is in the dominant role is loving and caring.
Okay. There, I think there's a difference there between what you said. There's in the relationships you guys describe, there is discussion, communication about your roles,
you have to.
All of that. But in what this other person is talking about, the unconscious kind of relationship, which I would not call BDSM, but I would just call where you have one who's a domineering partner, it mm-hmm. isn't necessarily done in a loving way, and it is not done in a consciously consensual fashion.
No,
either.
Often it's not, and often it is. I'd say half the time.
If both a partner are happy about it, if they're comfortable with this, sometimes they won't talk about it, but some people will. Remember I talked to you about what we call surrendering? Mm-hmm. Some people are going to surrender the power to somebody else, and they're going to be extremely happy about it. You know,
yeah, in my office, they ain't so happy. I can tell you the ones that come to me.
You know what?
Not happy about it.
I understand what you're saying. It's like in some relationships, one person will handle the money. And the other person doesn't. There's another example.
Hold on a second. That's a perfect example. You know what? We're going to get back to that because just using that example can show us the difference between the consensual BDSM relationship and one that really is much more on the abusive side. So alternative sexuality here tonight on Passion on CJD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
We are talking alternative sexuality tonight and we're streaming live. So if you want to watch the show at the same time and, you know, in between breaks, we're also showing toys that Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle brought. I'm not sure to call them toys, but they are contraptions
of toys.
Sorts.
We love our toys.
They are your toys. Some look like contraptions. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
No, abuse.
Yes. Okay, so yes. Let's go back to that because there have been questions about when is it abuse and when somebody brought up an extremely important point, which is that they have noticed that some people unconsciously have this kind of BDSM relationship, and I'm thinking, you know, dominant with a submissive, that they're not consenting to it. It's not as a dynamic of the couple. So we were going into the money thing, right? So if what one person says, or the couple decides together, you know what, honey, you're better with money. So why don't you handle the money and, you know, we'll talk, we'll have meetings, whatever.
Right.
That's very different than one person who says, I'll handle the money and I want to know everything you spend and I want to see every bill you make.
Absolutely.
And I want to, you know, and I'm going to give you money to spend when I decide I'm going to give you money. It's a big difference to me than whereas the second one did not consent to that. It was not agreed upon. It was threats.
We understand what you're saying.
I agree. And there's coercion.
Yeah.
Is still not freely given consent. There has to be free consent. And there is times the one when I hear the text again, when they say it's unconscious, well then if they haven't actually given consent, right?
Right.
There could be an issue. But if you know what, if you cannot stop or say no to an action,
then it is no
then
longer
it is
a
abuse.
BDSM thing. Yep. Exactly.
It's not BDSM, it's abuse.
That's
if you
right.
can't say no, if you can't stop it, then there's a problem.
So I just want to come back to that, what the person was talking about, because he makes a very, very important point. And they're saying other people around watching this are uncomfortable. Of course, when you're watching your friends and you watch that dynamic and you know that this is, it looks much more abusive. And I just don't want people to mix up the two. I would not call this, an unconscious BDSM relationship, but much more of a dysfunctional, abusive type of relationship.
Then we're going back on the fact that there's no negotiation.
Well, that's true. So unless there's negotiation, consent, and you're able to leave the situation, you're able to stop it and to say no to something, that makes it the difference between what you're talking about and abuse. I'm glad we got that.
Me too.
Straightened out.
Me
right.
too, because I agree 100%.
Right. News is next, and then more with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle here on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative Sex tonight. That's actually a perfect song for tonight. Pierre and Catherine are here of BDSMCircle.com, and we are streaming the show live on Facebook. So if you're interested, you can actually go back to watch it. So even if you haven't, you might be listening to it now, but it stays on my Facebook page. So you just have to go to the public page, which is Dr. Lori Petito, and you will find it there. So, you know, earlier we were talking too about demystifying and the whole notion of, you were saying, of taboo. It's like we're 30 years behind kind of where we were with the LGBTQ community, which I find a bit hard to believe that we're that far behind, but maybe so.
The gay community is so great about this, you know. You have the gay village, you have a gay organization, you have all kind of stuff happening during the summer. If you walk on St. Catherine Street during the summer in the gay village, it's beautiful. It's amazing.
Yes, but there are kink stores now.
There's a couple of stores with kink fetish parties.
Well,
there's
fetish party.
You know what? Yeah, there are, but it's really probably equivalent to about 30 years ago. There was 30 years ago, you had some gay parties, and you know what it is? It's a lot more, people don't acknowledge it as a sexuality.
Okay.
There's, you know, you can be lesbian or you can be straight, but you can't be like just kinky.
It's not
considered its own thing. So
like an orientation.
Exactly. Mm. It's not considered an orientation.
And the village, you have all kind of bar and discotheque for gay people. Here, if you want to have a what we call a dungeon, a public dungeon, you cannot. There's all kind of laws or rules that prevent you from having this. So the one that exists are secret,
illegal. They have to be underground.
They have to be underground.
Secret dungeons.
So this is what we cannot say, hey guys, we're going to be at this dungeon because we're going to put them in trouble. The same thing, good fetish party. Because discotheque organized fetish party, but people, it's not a great place to try to learn about BDSM.
It's not like real fetish party. I know, we'll get people mad at us when we say but
it's all right.
But it's where the public can explore certain things.
Where they can get some exposure, certainly. But it's not the same as going to like a private parties.
Private parties,
obviously.
The greatest.
Or actual dungeons.
What do you figure is the percentage of people who are into kink?
I'd say about 20%.
We thought 10%. Then you started to show us some.
The Quebec study.
The Quebec study and stuff like this.
Well, here in Quebec, it's higher than that.
About over 40%, by the way, according to the Quebec study. Have it here.
Oh, yeah.
I have it here for our Facebook.
But, you know, what's considered BDSM has gotten larger and
larger. It's now.
It's basically in that whole blanket of kink. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have, humiliation and is cross-dressing. Some people will say it's more of a BDSM thing because it'll be, you know, it can all kind of get mixed up in there. It's not just a straight line.
All the fetishism that you can think
of. I wonder how much we still associate it all with the Marquis de Sade. You know, anybody who knows that story, very disturbed man.
Marquis de Sade was a crazy guy.
He
killed a woman and he got in prison. Well, it was political, okay? At the time, if you read his
he was in
biography. But for me to say, I see some people saying, like Marquis de Sade is great. It's like, no, read his goddamn biography and think again. The guy is crazy.
Absolutely crazy. There was a movie I saw in France, the 101 Days of
Saddam.
Of Sodom. It was the most disturbing film I've ever seen in my life. But you
have
know
you ever
what?
Read his story?
Well, I've seen the play. I know his story.
It's repetitive. It's always the same thing coming around and around. You read 20 pages of a story and you get tired.
Well, he's a sick man. My point being is that we use the word sadism from him.
Yes.
But the way that the BDSM community uses it is so far from the crazy of the Marquis de Sade.
It's different. Now, we talk about Sade. Let's talk about Mazoche.
I don't know Mazoche.
Masochist.
Yeah, I know that. But who was Mazoche?
He was a little weird. but he's somebody who wanted pain. And right now, I could not find a good biography of him because everything I find seems not to be good. And this
I'd
is why.
Actually, I'd love to hear about that because I didn't. I only knew of the.
But
of
this
the,
is quite
the,
important.
Where sadism came from. I didn't know you where know, masochism came
when
from.
When we talk about sadomasochism, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Was he French too?
I do not know. I could not find out, actually.
Okay.
But we're going to do our research, and when we can find something.
Yeah, you bring it.
We'll talk about it. Now, earlier in the show, you mentioned about you never saw anybody in your office that was happy about a relationship that went bad. Have you ever had anybody enter your office and said, I have a fetishes and everything's going well and I'm happy with it? Because usually people seek you when they have problems.
Yes, that's a point well taken, obviously. But in terms of, I think what we were talking earlier about those dysfunctional relationships where you have a submissive person and a dominant person, those are because they're dysfunctional, not because they both chose to engage in S&M play or anything like that. I've seen couples like that with other problems who engage in BDSM play, but that's not why they came to see me.
They have other problems.
Do you know that most submissives are not submissive, mousy people?
Exactly. In real life.
In real life, they're not the ones that are... Oh, okay, you go ahead. They're not. If anything, they're the aggressive ones that want to be submissive in a sexual area or be submissive by choice to one person who exhibits leadership as well as for sexuality. I mean, that's a big part of it for a lot of people.
Well, I can also relate to that in terms of just as somebody who makes a lot of decisions, for example, to have somebody else, I'm relating
that
it
you
to
feel
something
is competent,
right? So no, I'm just going to show an example of this, right? So I had some renovations done, right? And
yep.
I hired a designer and to help me with all the renovations,
right.
And I allowed her. I didn't have time to run around, shop, do whatever. I trusted her implicitly. She's my art teacher. She's a great designer. I said, you know what? You make decisions. I'm not making any decisions. She would say to me, like, do you want this or that? I said, you decide. And it was a great feeling to have somebody else make those kinds of decisions.
Well, yeah.
So, and that was just everyday life. Like, we're not just talking, you know, we're talking about something else.
But do you
here.
Realize when you have somebody who's in power in their life that accept to give you all of this power? I mean, this is the... Often I talk about
the gift of
submission. If somebody trusts you enough to give you all of that power, this is the greatest thing you can get. But you have to be careful. You know, yeah, this person is basically giving their life into your hand.
I would joke with her saying, I'm your submissive. Which was, we were laughing all the time about that because, you know, yeah,
well,
she
you
enjoyed
could have
it.
Said
I enjoyed
no.
it.
At any point.
Yes, I could have said, no,
was,
I don't like
it
that.
It sounded more and more BDSM-y too, doesn't it?
No, it wasn't BDSM-y at all.
Well, you
but,
were pretty happy but... afterwards. That sounded like a good scene. But
well, there's the difference between where this kind of relationship is outside of the bedroom and one that plays out inside of the bedroom. And there is a distinction.
They're a couple that bring that type of relationship through all their life.
That live it, you mean,
that
as a lifestyle.
Yeah, sure.
And yes, and there is a difference between the lifestyle of this and people who just do this in the bedroom. We'll continue with Alternative Sexuality and Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. Again, you can watch it live. Go to my Facebook page, Dr. Lori Batito, and you will watch us in between breaks as well. You're listening to Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Batito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Alternative Sexuality tonight on the program. Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle join me. We're also streaming live, so you can watch the show as well. They brought in some of their toys to show, did a couple little small demos, and you can watch it live. Just go to Facebook and go to my Facebook page, Dr. Lori Batito, dr.loribatito, and you will see it right there. Lots to talk about. There's always stuff to talk about.
Or well, we never have enough time. I told you, you need a two-hour show.
Yeah, I know you always say that. But but once a month. Listen, we've been doing it for years. Where you guys have been coming here for,
yeah,
I don't even know how many years, but we always find
interesting
things to talk about.
When do we get our parking space?
Good luck with that. You know, I wanted to share an article that I read, a study, and maybe we've done this before, but it was a new study that discovered that practitioners of bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, sadomasochism
are fun.
Tend to be less neurotic, less anxious and paranoid, more extroverted, more conscientious, and more open to new experiences than members of the vanilla general public.
Are we surprised?
Was interesting. I know you're not surprised, but our listeners might be surprised. This was published in the prestigious Journal of Sexual Medicine, and over 900 people signed on to were part of this sample. Plus, they had a control group as well, so they were able to look at both.
Because they have to negotiate.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. Is that right? The communication. All the psychological characteristics to be able to engage properly in BDSM for BDSM practitioners mean that they need to have all of these traits in order to be able to do that. So when they were, of course, it's not that the BDSM community is it's not homogeneous, but they found that dominance tended to score the highest in all measurements, submissives the lowest, and switches were somewhere in the middle. So there you have it. I think it's quite interesting because they gave them all psychological testing and profiles and looked at that. And there were no findings suggesting that people who practice BDSM have a damaged psychological profile or have some sort of psychopathology or personality disorder.
But you cannot. If somebody has problem in between the 2 years, they cannot do BDSM because this is where it gets
illegal.
Dangerous
and illegal. Yeah. Here's the conclusion. We conclude that BDSM may be thought of as a recreational leisure rather than the expression of psychopathological processes. And it's interesting because people often ask, what leads a person to that? What trauma in their childhood to do this? But it is still a fascinating. People still ask themselves that question. People come to me and ask that question.
Us all the time.
But remember what I'm telling you about this? If there was no crime, if there was no politics, if everybody felt respected, if there was no trauma in childhood or whatever, I don't think fetishism would exist. It's always like an answer. It's always like people respond to things in the society in an extreme way. You mentioned the people.
I think so. I think they still exist, just not the odd ones.
Oh, no, I don't think.
Because there's still society. There's still, you know what? Most people will think that high spike heels and stockings are sexy. Most men, the vast majority will think.
Medina is doing this.
But that could be very kinky for some people.
I know, but you gave the example of the businessman who's in power all the time, that at some point he wants to surrender, he wants to forget about this. If he was not a businessman or a successful businessman, probably would not have the need to do this.
Right.
It all goes together.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So the person, right, what you're saying is a person's personality, it doesn't mean they're pathological. I think that's the difference. Your personality may drive you to do something and you may have certain needs, but those needs don't imply that you're sick in the head.
Not at all.
Lack of better words, that there's some craziness or
I think
form
it's a way to take the way you're wired or that your orientation, because I do believe it's an orientation or can be. The same way some people will like dabble at being gay, and there's other people that are actually gay that identify as gay, if you know what I mean.
Well, there's a continuum.
Yeah.
So it's the same continuum with this, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Coming up, we'll a couple last words with alternative sexuality, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. Again, you can tune in and watch us live at on my Facebook page at Dr. Lori Batito, and it will be there. So if you missed part of it, or you want more information, you want to see some of the toys that they brought in and see some demonstrations, then you can always watch it again or share it with your friends and they can watch it. You're listening to Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Last little bit of time here on with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. It's a site that has lots and lots of information.
And old
Best
pictures.
Site ever.
And old pictures. There's a picture of their dungeon on it. And I don't know if Paris, were you able? Paris is our filmer here, and we're doing it live. So did you get a picture of their dungeon?
I did. So if our viewer or our listeners want to see what it looks like, they can go to your Facebook page, Dr. Lori Petito, and watch us live. We'll go back on it before we sign out completely.
But there's a lot more stuff now because these pictures are, 15, 16 years old.
So, so you've increased the number of toys in your dungeon,
I
imagine.
We have a problem with space right now.
You need a bigger house. Worn out. Like a lot of those toys have actually been worn out now, and we've got new toys because
they wear out.
Could you imagine that dildos?
Ain't just for show, baby.
We have to change dildo because at some point they're worn out.
Well, I would hope you would change your
toys that you use. You would not take something from a rubber dildo or something like this, and at some point you just go, "Whoa, we have to change this thing."
I would hope so. Well, now you move to glassware, which is even more sanitary.
Yeah, but it's a different it's a different feeling.
Yeah, but we wrap them. We always wrap them if they're not.
You
especially
know, you know
glass.
That means
condoms
using
that
condoms.
We borrow from you when you do an event and you have the condom that you free condom.
Oh, let us know. I'm sure we'll
Are
be
you
able
kidding?
To supply
I
you
always
with some
like
condoms.
Steal just tons and tons of them.
Oh, so you're the culprit.
I am.
Yes, we are.
And actually, you should thank one condom for those because they're the ones.
Yeah, they're some really neat
provide
ones
the
too.
Condoms for us.
They were some cool condoms in there. I
yes,
got quite
they
a
have,
kick out
they
of
have
them.
Some,
I'd be,
a great line.
There was a couple of times I'd be doing a scene. I'd grab one and like I started reading it and like I'm chuckling and like the sub's getting so nervous.
If nobody's ever seen them, one condoms are round and they all have the beautiful, some of them have beautiful art on them.
Yes, they do.
And sayings and all kinds of. In fact, at the Museum of Sex in New York, I saw an entire display of them, which was really great.
That's cool.
So you can actually see pictures of that on my Facebook as well. You'll see.
Okay.
In my New York trip, I posted a whole bunch of stuff, so you'll see them there. But we can thank them because they help provide some of the condoms when I go out and do some sex education, either to adults, seniors, or teenagers. So that's kind of helpful. Anyway, that's it, guys. We've come to the end of the program.
Already.
I want to thank you guys for being here. We'll see you again next month. We always have fun. I want to thank Paris Mansouri,
Paris.
Who is our filmer for tonight. You can thank
her for the videographer.
You can thank her for the steady hand because last time I did it was a disaster. Dave Simon, who takes care of pushing
you,
all the buttons and producing technically the show. Thank you. News is coming up next, followed by the comedy show with your host, Joey Elias. Wishing you a wonderful rest of the evening. And please remember, life is short, so do take the time to smell the flowers and indulge your passions.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.